Welcome to The Lovumentary, a podcast dedicated to finding out the truth behind what creates deeply passionate, connected, lasting love. In every episode, I sit down with one of the most amazing couples, love experts, or authors in the country and discuss the nitty-gritty details of what really happens inside the most incredible relationships. We dive into the good times and the bad, the sickness and the health, the richer and the poorer, and how each couple has created their own version of true love. My hope is that you take something from every single one of these stories that can help you love more fully and passionately. I'm your host, Nate Bagley, and thanks so much for tuning in.
Hey, welcome to episode number 73 of the Lovumentary. I am so glad to have you tuned in today. Today's episode is with Devin and Whitney, and they also were interviewed out in the Bay Area. They're a great couple. They're actually more recently married. Typically, I don't interview couples who have been married this short of an amount of time, but their story and the fact that they got married a little bit later on in life than their cultural upbringing made me want to talk to them about how they met, how they fell in love, what their story was. And I think it's just really interesting to hear how different people find each other and what the process is that they go through, and how sometimes you can just date and date and date and date and it doesn't work out, and then sometimes it just does. So I love Devin and Whitney's story. I hope you do too. A side note, if you would like to experience a date in a box delivered to your house, I have invented such a thing. It is called Unbox Love. And if you go to the Unbox Love website at unboxlove.com and go subscribe using the coupon code LOVEUMENTARY, you will get 10% off because I love you. Okay, hope you enjoy the episode, and I hope you have a marvelous week. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
I guess I'll tell you my story first.
Whitney,
you can chime in, Whitney, if you hear me saying anything that might be,
I think every guy, honestly, every guy says that. It's I'll tell the story and my wife will correct all the mistakes.
I see things through some rose-tinted glasses sometimes. And
that's all right.
So I've been looking for Whitney forever, it feels like, and I dated lots of girls and great girls. Some girls that really wanted to get married and it just didn't feel right. And you go through these like ebbs and flows where you're just like, ugh, why do I keep dating? This is so annoying. I'm trying everything. And I remember I'd heard Steve Young. He's like, well, I decided when I finally made marriage my number one priority that year, I got married. He's like 40s. Something, or I was like, oh man, well, I gotta make it my priority now. I'm not gonna wait until I'm 40. So I remember just jokingly, I was like, one of my goals is I'm gonna get married, engaged this year. And so, in order to do that, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna tell God I'm gonna be serious about this. So I joined LDS Singles, LDS Planet, and a couple other online dating websites.
Every single one possible.
Which, for people who are listening and they're not Mormon, they're like Mormon-specific dating sites.
Okay. Yeah, I did OkCupid too, and a couple others. And so, yeah, just it was an LDS dating website. And I had been on LDS Planet for, I don't know, I re-upped my subscription. It had been like 6 months, and nothing really exciting. I had a lot of people messaging me, but I'd be like, I thought I had filtered this, you know, and I'd see, like, I was looking for a certain type of person. Somebody from my same situation.
Right.
And eventually, one day, I just looked. I just did a random search. I was searching for people kind of in around the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. And then I broadened it out. And all of a sudden, Whitney's photo appeared. And I'm like, who's this? Wow. Like, I thought it was like a joke. You know, this is it's like a joke profile.
Right.
I'm like, who's this girl? Why is
somebody
she on here?
Somebody catfished her.
Yeah, I was like, what is her problem, right? So why is she on here? Because
too good to be true.
Yeah, it felt like that. So I was living at home at the time, and I told my mom, I'm like, hey, check out this girl. And she's like, oh my gosh, you have to message her. And she's like, oh, she was reading everything about her profile. And it's all these things I was really excited
like,
about.
Like what?
Like I have an Italian heritage. I love Italy. I did a study abroad there. And she had lived in Italy for 18 months on a mission for a church and spoke Italian. And she went to the same school I went to, different campus. But and she talked about she was organized and all these things that I was like, I forget all the details. I just remember being really impressed. And she was really pretty. So I was like, okay, this is great. So I... Good answer.
She's not in her head like, yeah.
So I then said, all right, I'm going to message her. And I just said a message like, you know, messaging back and forth nice, but I'd rather call you on the phone, something like that. And I just sent it off to her. And I didn't know if I'd ever hear back. And a couple days later, I got a message from her. And then I don't know if I've told you this, the first phone call before I called you, I was really nervous. And I've never really been that nervous talking. I've talked on the phone with girls for ever since like I was 14.
Right.
So, and I'm different from most crazy guys. I'd be like 2 hours on the phone. You know, my mom's like, are you still talking in your room? No, no. Okay, I gotta go. Yeah, and so... So anyways, I just remember being nervous. I don't even know what we talked about. I started talking to her.
I don't remember either. But I mean, so I... Just from so I can catch up to where you're at. I had gotten on LDS Planet kind of as a joke, actually. I had had a bad year of dating the year before. I had had 3 back-to-back relationships, and I was just kind of over it all. I was really frustrated. I thought that I wasn't going to find a good guy that had values and an actual job, an actual car. And I had had a couple guys lie to me, and I was really frustrated. And I was kind of at that point, well, you know what? If I can't have fun with the guys, then I'm just going to have fun on my own. And I was kind of in that phase where I didn't expect really anything to happen. And I got an LDS Planet. Ironically, it was right after my grandpa passed away. It was the day after. So I keep wondering if he had something to do with the getting us together somehow, because he really wanted me to get married.
Right.
And I just felt like I should get on LDS Planet. That's the only one I got on.
It's like 100 unread messages.
And
right. Your inbox is full.
Yeah. You must delete some messages.
And I got on, and I went out with a couple guys, and I had kind of put my foot down on what type of guy I was going to date. Because in the past, I was like, oh, well, maybe he'll change and maybe this will happen. People don't change. And right. I came to the conclusion I needed to decide what I wanted and not settle for anything less. And if that meant I wasn't going to date, then I wasn't going to date. But that's what I put my standard to. And I went out with some great guys from it. And a couple months after...
Were these guys like local?
They were local, were local. I went out with a doctor. I went out with some muscle, I don't know, he's a trainer who helped own a gym, co-owned a gym.
His name was Chad, right?
It was Thad, actually. Oh my gosh. It was Thad.
Sometimes I impress myself.
Yeah, wow.
I was really close.
You were, actually.
You guys, I almost guessed somebody's name. That's impressive, right?
You did, yeah. You were really close. Just changed that.
Sorry, Thad,
and,
if you're listening.
I know, yes. We won't add last names. And then Devin wrote me, and I have to admit, I am actually surprised that I messaged him back, because I only messaged back a handful of people. Like I said, I had a criteria.
If they're a doctor or a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
So. Lucky for you, you're both, right?
It was just funny. Right.
You guys should see what I look like.
I have to tease him, because on his profile, he had this picture. I've always dated jocks, and he's like the artsy kind. Uh-huh. And he's also very organized, and he still likes to keep in good shape. But he's the opposite of what I dated. And anyways, he had this picture on his profile of him coming through this like
Photoshop. This was not my profile picture.
It was in his pictures of him coming through this like Photoshopped leaf background. And he had this like interesting jacket, and he like was in these leaves. I can't even explain it, but I was like, is this one of those like Lord of the Ring guys who wears the swords
the
and the costumes?
Awesome. I was just showing off my Photoshop skills.
All the girls agreed that it was a little bit.
Okay, it was all. But, I don't know if you want me to explain it, but it was an awesome picture.
Anyways, it's cute. I was kind of hesitant.
I can tell it was super cute.
I was hesitant to kind of respond. Since it made you question everything.
It was really
cute. So we had different reactions. I was like, oh, wow, look at this girl. And she's like,
well, but then, this is the thing. But then I saw, like, he had some pictures with his family. And so I was like, okay, you know what?
Family guy.
Yeah, family guy. He had a good job.
Strategically placed photos.
You got lost in his eyes a few times.
Yeah. Oh,
it was along with the jacket.
Yeah. I just, anyway, so I responded. And I, like I said, didn't really expect too much out of it. And then we just started talking. And we started Skyping. And then...
Yeah, I don't even remember what we talked about, but I was like, let's Skype. So we had like a Skype date, and we'd do that like a couple times a week.
Yeah.
Talk a couple times
and
a week.
And it was kind of funny because we'd talk about our other dates too, because we were still going out with other people. And so... But what was weird is that it wasn't that weird for some reason. I didn't feel...
So at what point, you guys met online, you started Skyping and stuff. When did you meet for the first time in person?
We had, so down in her neck of the woods in LA, there was this big singles conference to the church in Huntington Beach. And
I've
I was
heard
like,
about that one.
Oh yeah. So I was like, hey, I'm planning on going down there. I have some friends that want to go down there. And you're down there.
You should come.
You should come to it. And I thought this will be safe because if things don't work out, she's there around a bunch of other single people, so it's not like, oh, I came here
for
nothing.
That's super safe.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, and we can meet. And so I flew down there and met up with her and her best friend.
I brought a best friend for safety
purposes. She had a wing girl.
A wing girl.
Yeah. Because I was like, it could be a really awkward situation because we hadn't met, but we were interested, but there were other people there to flirt with, but... You know, it was just one of those that either would go really good or really poorly.
So I knew, though, when guys met Whitney, they're going to just be... It was going to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. So I had to meet her first. So I had set up... We had an early dinner before the conference actually kicked off. We kind of met up halfway at some random restaurant. And I just remember I saw... She said she had a red car, and I was like, is she even going to show up? And I see a red car in the parking lot. I'm like, yes. And then I go, and she's just sitting right there. And I mean, you look just the same as you're on Skype. I mean,
the first thing he said, he was like, "You're real.
I'm like, you're actually real.
Which is like, you're cute.
It's a really cool experience. I've had that experience before where you only know somebody online and then you see them in person for the first time. And it's like the first time you see them in three dimensions, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, wow. Actually, yeah, so I was like, wow, you look really good. Because it's not like, hey, turn around on the camera. You know, but...
So...
But I saw all of Whitney, and she was great. We ate dinner. I don't even know. I don't like a salad or something. And then I was just kind of like, okay, well, see you in an hour. And then you left, I left. And then I saw you in line later that night, and all my friends were like, just don't, like, hover around her, you know, give her some space. So I was really trying to be conscious of that.
He did really great, because, yeah, he was really great. He'd come to me, I was kind of like his staple girl, per se, but then he'd also go off, so it would leave me a little bit intrigued.
Right.
Like, he's not just, you know, like a little puppy dog, so.
Oh. And then, did I impress you with my dance moves?
Oh, he had some dance moves.
We had this moment where we were, like, dancing together, and what was that song?
And that's the moment you fell in love.
John Legend?
It was that one, the crazy song.
Turned down for what?
It was turned down for what? And so we were just, we got crazy.
Turned down for what?
Yeah, we were just all letting loose, and it was a lot of fun.
And then the conference ended, and I know, I remember thinking, oh, well, he was a nice guy, I had a good time with him, but he lives in San Francisco, and I live in LA, and we're probably not going to go back and forth. I kind of thought this is probably not really going to go anywhere. And then you kissed me outside of the church building. It was so awkward, though. It was cute, but super awkward because it was...
I had to let her know.
He wanted to let me know that he was interested because, you know, we were both talking to other people and other people got our numbers. And he just basically, like, pulled me aside outside
of
the church.
Well, her friend was with her the whole time. I just had to, like, pull her away. It's like was my last chance. So I'm like, okay, I'm doing this.
That's like one of the good things about having a wing girl and one of the bad things about having a wing girl.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, yo, give me some space.
Yeah, it's true.
As a guy, it's like so frustrating.
He did it, and it was just a couple minutes, and he pulled me outside and he just said, you know, I had a really great time and I really liked what I've seen of you. And then he like kissed me. And it was kind of weird, though, because people were coming in and out. So you couldn't really give, like, a full good kiss. Right. There was no... I didn't make any judgments about the kiss because it was just kind of like, I don't know. That was kind of awkward. But it wasn't him. It was but just it was the circumstances that were...
made it awkward.
And, like I said, I didn't think I'd hear much from him. And then I think it was the next day he called me and said, what are you doing in 2 weekends? And I was like, oh, he actually is really interested. And so... you flew down.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first thing we did is I picked him up from the airport and we went to the zoo. And we just had a great time talking.
Do it.
And...
yes.
There was like a moth flying. It? Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Killer.
We made a rule before we started not to hit the table and there's been this mosquito flying around.
And I got it.
It was Killer. Okay to smack the table to kill the mosquito.
And but then we went to the zoo, which is...
yeah.
Was that my idea or your idea?
I don't know. But I just remember we went to the zoo, and at the end of it, we were sitting on a bench, and it was, like, about to close, and it was kind of a hidden bench, and he kissed me for the first time, and I remember that we both,
the
like...
first time.
This is, like, the real first time, yeah. I guess you could say. Sorry, second time,
the one that
technically.
Counts.
The one that actually I felt something, and it was, like, literally... Fireworks and sparks. And I, really. Him and I both kind of like did
Katy
a...
Katy Perry came
whoa,
out of the background.
Yeah, like, whoa, there was some electricity. And I kind of took us both, I think, aback because we... I don't know. What's your take on that?
I just thought it was awesome.
Best kisses often are.
Yeah, it's like, this girl's great.
But I hadn't felt anything like that. And then we had a great time during the weekend, but the thing that impressed me was right before he left... I remember us having a conversation just about the types of, like, wives and husbands that we wanted to be. And he listed who he wanted to be and the goals that he had. And they were exactly aligned with...
that's great.
...the goals that I had. And I just remember thinking, this is something's different. And I had had some close calls getting married as well. And it just, once again, didn't feel right. Just like Devin's didn't feel right. But once again, I was like, we're far away. How is this going to...
everything,
play.
Long story short, everything fell perfectly into place.
How long did you guys date before you got married?
It was, so this was April when I first like messaged you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the conference was...
was it June?
May. Yeah.
Okay.
So it was like end of May.
Okay.
And then we were, by next April, we were married.
But this is the cool part that we have to tell you is that, so, you know, I was living in LA. This is the cool part. I think it's cool because this is for me what I, you know, solidified everything. Because I was in LA and he was in, you know, San Francisco. And I'm just not the type of girl that does long distance, really. It's not very, I like the person being there and present. And Devin kept saying, well, you should look for a job up here. And I, at the time, wasn't enjoying my job. But I had a lot of good friends there. My life was there. And I have never been a girl to move or change my life for a boy because they haven't been real reliable, to mm-hmm. be honest. And I, so anyways, he just said, well, look. And so I had a couple of concerns as to even start looking. And it was ironic because all of my best friends within 1 month moved away. They either got married or they got a different job. And then... at that point at work, it was really miserable, and there was honestly no reason for me to stay. So I said, all right, I kind of, you know, left it up to the big man and said, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm working full time. I can't really search for a job real well. So you're going to have to make this happen. If this is the right thing, you're going to have to make it happen. And so I went up there and we went back and forth a couple times before mm-hmm. this all happened. But once I decided to look for a job, I took off a Friday and Monday, went and interviewed with a couple of places, and they called me that very afternoon. So on Monday, I had a job interview with the government, and they called me that afternoon right after the interview, said, we really like you. We want you to interview with us tomorrow. And I said, well, I'm leaving tonight, going back to LA. And they said, ironically, our hiring manager is going to be in LA tomorrow, and she rarely travels.
Mm.
They're like, can you interview with her? So I did.
Didn't you
interviewed with her the
lunch,
next day.
Like,
yeah,
next day.
I went the next day. I interviewed with her. I got a job offer 2 weeks later. So this is the first weekend I interviewed. job offer 2 weeks later, making significant more money, less stress, and
close to him.
Yeah, and the best other part, thing,
right next to me.
Yeah, best part right next to him. And the other thing that was interesting is that my best friend and I, on a whim, decided to come to San Francisco a couple months prior, and I fell in love with the city. Mm-hmm. So it was almost like foreshadowing, I guess you could say. And so I moved up, and then I knew he was special when he flew down and helped me move. He didn't just say, oh, well, good luck getting up here. He flew down. He helped me move. When I was looking for a job, he set me up with recruiters. Like, he did his homework, and he helped me, and he did not, he made me feel very...
That's a man, right?
That he
there.
Was, yeah, that he was, he He's was, he had my back. He was, that set him apart alone from so many other men. That's is great. That he was stable and secure in there.
Wouldn't have done anything less.
Good for you.
Yeah. And so, and then I just, yeah, fell in love with him.
And my packing skills.
Oh, they were amazing. No.
My car was packed.
You're really
good. He's just so supportive.
You're good at the 3D Tetris.
Yes. Actually, it was kind of cool. We got upgraded to a full-size SUV. Mm. Luckily, because we had like 1 inch left as we were like awesome. Pushing
the tailgate. I underestimated how much stuff I had.
Push, yeah. Shut. Yeah, so...
But, Whitney, you have a lot of stuff.
Well, you know, I didn't have too much. I actually sold all my furniture and everything, but he has a better eye for that kind of thing. Cool. And luckily, he guided me in that. But I really, that was a big thing. That was, I think, huge for girls, just knowing that, seeing the way he took care of me in those circumstances, I knew going forward he would be there for me.
That's cool.
If I pursued it, so.
It's a great story. Mm-hmm. So tell me... in this process of like, well, first of all, how old are both of you?
I'm 32.
I'm 32.
I'm 28.
And 28.
Mm-hmm. So we've both dated.
Yeah, you've been around the block.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Too many times.
So what is one of the things that's been surprisingly difficult that you expected maybe to be easy?
Like in marriage or dating?
Just throughout your relationship, yeah. Like you're like on the same wavelength.
I know.
We are a little too much.
We finish each other's sandwiches.
Sentences? Yeah. Sandwiches? Yeah.
Oh, I should just never... No. I need to like delete that from... I can't publicly admit that I watched Frozen enough to...
Let it go.
I don't even have an excuse either. I don't have nieces or nephews around. Or
hey, just, everybody
just
was doing
in
it.
Touch with your sensitive side.
Oh, I just have seen too much Frozen.
Oh.
So let's see. What's been surprisingly difficult? I don't know. I just feel like coming into marriage, I never really... Just really realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's going to be disagreements... And it's healthy and normal. And
have you guys had disagreements?
Yeah, we've had disagreements.
So how do you handle them?
We just sit down and talk.
You're civil with each other?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, I think the thing, another thing that I really noticed about Devin that distinguished him from other men is that he, in a relationship, you can't work with someone if they never admit fault, ever. And when we sit down and talk to each other... I mean, he's probably better at it than I am. I could be a little more stubborn. But we try to say, you know what, okay, this is a situation, and you know, I could have done this better, and then he'll say, I could have done this better. Mm. And then we both, you know, admitting, you know, we have faults. We're different, you know? Okay. And, like, it's really nice, because really, in regards to all of the big things, we line up perfectly. Our goals and our idea of how we want to raise a family is, like, great. It's just... little things that
I think it was cool too. We set kind of some ground rules if we ever had like an argument. Yeah. Like, these are the rules.
What are your rules?
So,
because there's people who are going to be listening who probably could really benefit from your rules.
Yeah.
And I've noticed there's a pattern with the couples that I've interviewed, especially mm-hmm. the ones that I admire most, almost every time that we have one of these conversations, they talk about how they have a set of ground rules, and yeah. like what makes their relationship work is their commitment to those rules. That's like yeah. what develops the trust and mm-hmm. the workability of the relationship.
Well, you have to feel emotionally safe,
yeah,
or you're never going to want to talk about things, and you're yeah. never. And that's one thing I really appreciate about Devin is that he allows me to express myself without freaking out or telling me I'm dumb for thinking that way or for feeling that way.
Do you want to share your rules?
Well, we might have different rules.
The ones, you know.
Well, the rules when I talk to him. So he comes from a background that's different. His family is together and they're happily together, and I come from divorced parents, so we have a little bit of different viewpoint in that regard. But my rules were simply, basically, no name calling, no cussing at each other,
which I never think of doing.
But you never know, right? No yelling and no threatening divorce. Mm. That's not a fair game or a fair way to deal with it. You know, those were personally the rules that I had. Did you have any to add?
And then sometimes if you're a couple of times you've been frustrated, your natural response is like, I just gotta get away. I gotta get away, because it's like a protection mode.
That's true.
I don't know, somebody's gonna yell at me or hurt my feelings, and you know, which I'd never do. So I just told you, I was like, okay. So she said, okay, if you see me doing that, just say, hey, Whitney,
help me snap out of it.
I notice you're trying to run away. You know, it looks like you're upset. You want to run away. I love you. I'm not going to leave you. And just help her kind of snap out of that mode. And I only have to do that once, I think.
Yeah, he hasn't. But it's nice because I recognized, oh, I do this when I get frustrated. And that doesn't help our relationship. But it's my natural reaction just because of some family situations I've had.
So she's kind of an avoider and I'm more of a, like, let's talk about this now.
Yeah, I'm kind of used to people, when they're frustrated with you, they just kind of like, I don't want to say like machine gun with their words, but I'm right. used to that.
They lash out.
Yeah. So my reactions just kind of get out as quick as you can before they can pummel you down.
What triggers your fight or flight? And the flight is easy if the damage is coming. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
very common.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not alone in that struggle.
Good. Because that's what that's my natural reaction. But he keeps continually making me feel safe every time I express myself and he responds to me in a nice way, it makes me feel safer and safer and safer, and to the point that I feel like it just constantly develops that trust. And
that's awesome.
And I have to share this one other thing. I remember something else that when we were dating, there was one time that I felt like he had hurt my feelings, and he didn't mean to, but I remember he was so upset that that I thought he had hurt his feelings, and he just looked at me and he said...
Oh, that I thought...
Yeah, did I just say that backwards?
Yeah, I had hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was really upset, and he just looked at me and he said, I would never do anything to intentionally hurt you, ever. Like, and I need, you know, basically saying, I need you to remember that, because I have been used to people that would intentionally say things to hurt me, and well, I don't want to say intentionally, but they did, and and they did it knowingly, and I wasn't used to this approach, and so it really helps a relationship when you can sit there and say, this person might have hurt my feelings, but they didn't mean to do it.
It wasn't intentional.
You know, it was not intentional, and I really believe that.
That's
and
beautiful.
I, you know, I really believe it when Devin tells me, you know, I don't mean to hurt you ever. Yeah. He's shown that to me. So
I was talking to some friends the other day, and they said, you know those couples that, like, you go out to a restaurant and you see them sitting across from each other and they're just not saying anything?
Yeah.
And you're like, I never want to be that couple who just runs out of things to say. And we had this conversation about it, and my friend said, what if it's not that they don't have anything to say, it's that they've avoided, they have so much to say and they don't feel safe saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've lost that safe space that you guys create. And so there's all this garbage built up, and anything that they talk about just ends up turning into a fight because it's been so long since they've had that they've carried this garbage around that just everything turns into a fight.
Yeah.
Like they can't talk about home because somehow it's going to trigger, like, well, you never take out the garbage, or remember that thing that you did. They can't talk about the kids because there's friction about how they want to raise their kids, and they can't talk about work because she's resentful about how much time he spends at work, and they can't talk, like, there's no safe anything, no safe topic, and so they literally just go to dinner and sit
just
and talk about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're on their phones.
So it's not so much,
yeah.
So it's not, Like, it makes me wonder how many couples are sitting at dinner and not talking, not so much because they don't have anything to talk about, but because they don't feel they have too much to talk about that they don't feel safe talking about.
Yeah.
So that's really cool that you...
I think an approach is, instead of looking, like, here's two people that care about each other, and then there's a problem, and the problem's not, you're the problem, you're like, let's take ourselves away from the problem, here's the situation, let's both look at it, and, like, kind of jab at it, and talk about it. How do we solve this thing, this problem in between us? Not like, you're making this problem, I feel this way because you're doing this. It's like, this is the situation, what do you think about it? Like, let's talk about it. Let's take it, and this is... You know, it's basically like taking the problem out of the person and then examining it on the table. Mm. Here's what it is. How can we chop this up?
Yeah, not making the person seem like the problem, but the... Because I think something we learned, too, is that we both have different experiences and backgrounds, and it doesn't mean that the way he does something is necessarily right or wrong, or the way that I do something is right or wrong, or that we are the problem. It's just that sometimes we just look at things differently, and we just handled it. We, you know, had different families. One thing that's been interesting is, you know, like I said, he comes from a home that wasn't broken, and mine was. And so it's hard sometimes because I almost feel like he has this very glamorous, like, oh, love's great. And I feel like I have a little bit... It's been a little tougher for me to actually believe him because I haven't had that viewpoint.
There.
Yeah, there's way there is more, and he's always tells me to be more positive, which I'm trying to be, and it's coming in regards
she's
to relationships.
She does great,
but it did she take time. Adorable. It did take time to develop it, and it's still, you know,
it's okay to be human. Time. Like that, yeah, this stuff is. Just, I mean, it's real. Like, we learn to love from the examples and role models that we have access to. And when you have, a 50% divorce rate, a lot of people, what they're exposed to is, like, rough stuff. And even people whose parents don't get divorced, they don't always have the greatest relationships. And sometimes they're emotionally abusive, and they don't even know it, or physically abusive, or, you know, there's just all sorts of... Our parents screw us up no matter how hard they try.
Exactly. That's true.
And, I mean, I was just talking about this last night. Like, you got the helicopter parent who tries to protect their kid from everything, and they screw up their kid because now their kid doesn't know how to, like, take on life's trials by themselves. They're, like, dependent on their parents for everything. And then when they get married, they're reliant on their parents and they can't detach themselves and have, like, an adult relationship. But then you've got the parents who just have the hands-off approach. My kids will just figure it out. But then those kids grow up without discipline and without rules. And then you've got everything in between. And, like, you just... everybody shows up with baggage in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And just because one person had a different experience doesn't make it right or wrong. But yeah, that's, I think, one of the most interesting things in relationships that I've been in is, like, realizing that not everybody experiences life the way I do.
Mm-mm, I know.
It's like, it's easy to forget that.
It's like, wait, you don't see it like that?
And then doing the assuming things, too. That was one thing. Remember at the movies?
I know. Ooh, tell the story.
I just remember what happened? Remember I was at the movies? Oh, I had a cough.
Oh, yeah, okay, this is fun. I think this is a more guy-girl difference.
Perfect. This is
great. So I guess I'll tell my part of the story.
You tell it, because I'm like,
we're going to this movie and we'd really wanted to see, and we're rushing in, and we get there. And Whitney, you had said she had kind of had, like, a little cough. She's like,
I had a pretty bad cough, actually, for, like, a couple weeks.
So she had this cough, and I think I gave you, like, a cough drop.
I don't know.
Or I'm like, here, try this. And she's like, okay, yeah, you know, I really want to see this movie, and I hope I don't cough during the movie or anything like that. I'm like, oh, well, here's a cough drop. And then during the movie, so we just started watching the movie, and she's like, oh, you know, I hope I don't. You know, she coughed a little bit. You know, I didn't really notice. I was watching the movie, and she's like, I don't know. You know, I think I'm going to... I hope I don't cough during this movie. I'm like, oh, here's another cough drop. You know, or just like, here, let me help you out. And she's like, you're not listening to me. I'm like, what?
I keep coughing, honey, and I don't want to bother people. And he just was like, oh, okay. And then he just, like, kept sitting there, and I was like... And so I, like, sat there for a couple minutes because I was coughing and I felt really uncomfortable because I didn't want to... I was trying to keep, like, not cough.
Barely coughing.
I wish I could remember the phrase I said because it wasn't exactly that.
Oh, and then I said, oh, you want to leave the movie? oh, well, let's go. Why
this
didn't
is
you say
after
so?
A couple minutes of me like seething, and I'm like, he's not listening to me. I keep telling him that I'm coughing, and he's not listening to me.
And then I was like, oh, I didn't even realize it. I was like, oh, why didn't you just tell me you wanted to leave? Yeah, let's go. Let's go get a refund.
Do you know what that's called?
That was it. Then
what
we
is
just
that
left.
Called?
Hint dropping.
Yes.
Everybody has hint droppers. And so sometimes people grow up with different hint droppers in a marriage. And so you can come from a family of hint droppers and be like, you know, like, and that's an indication, what's that smell? And the other person is like, oh, do you need a hanky?
Right. Yeah.
But, so women do that a lot. Men do it too, but a lot of times in relationships, when you drop hints, it messes up a lot of the communication.
Yeah.
So you need to own your words and be direct communicators.
There's so this book I just finished called The New Rules of Marriage by Terry Real. He talks about how you have no right to complain about not getting something that you've never asked for. And how the reason that we complain in relationships is because we're not getting what we want. But complaining doesn't enable your partner to do anything except apologize and feel bad for being inadequate and for being like letting you down. And so his recommendation is to replace complaints with requests. But requests are scary because they require you to own the thing that you want. Mm-hmm. And they require you to like be really upfront and honest. It's a really vulnerable way of being.
Whitney's good with that. She'll be like, cuddle me.
I do tell
her. Okay.
That is
yeah, that's all you had to ask.
Cuddle me.
I'll just give you.
But it's funny. It happens very often. Like, I remember going on a road trip with a girl once, and we're driving, and we go past an exit, and we're approaching an exit, and she's like, are you thirsty? And I'm like, no.
And then she's saying, I'm thirsty.
And then we pass another exit, and she's like, do you want a drink? And I'm like, no. I'm good. And then she's like,
and meanwhile,
starts fuming.
She's getting
she's
really
like, fuming.
Irritated.
And I'm like, whoa, are you okay? Are you upset? I'm fine. When I get to the next one, she's like, could you just pull over? I want a drink. And I'm like, oh, I didn't. If you would have just said you wanted a drink, I would have pulled over three stops ago.
That's funny.
And I remember the phrase that I said to you in the movie.
What was it?
I said, hun, because I was coughing. I said, hun, I don't think I can make it through this movie. And you're like, oh, you'll be fine. That's what he said. He goes, oh, you'll be fine. I remember it now.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And then a couple minutes later, I go, hun, I really don't think I can make it through this movie. Oh, here's a cough drop, honey.
Yeah.
And then by that point, exactly. And then by that point, I was just like, well, fine, you're not going to listen to me. I was like, and I was, and he goes, oh, you want to leave? And I'm like, yes, I want to leave. And I learned from that I now just say very bluntly, hun, I want this, or I don't want this, or let's do this, or I don't want to do this.
And what have you found happens when you're really specific with your requests?
It's a lot easier to solve the problem or the situation because he knows clearly.
Is Devin typically really excited to give you what you want?
He always says, I just want to make you happy.
Boom.
Oh, do I? That sounds good.
You always say that. That's what he says that all the time. Honey, what can I do to make you happy? You said it even today.
Oh, see, it just comes out. I don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever watch TED Talks?
Have I showed you? I love TED Talks.
Devin loves
them.
I haven't seen
them. Have you seen the one on rejection therapy?
No.
So there's this amazing guy. He's Chinese. I don't know why that's the first thing that came out of my mouth to describe him. But he did this. He wanted to be an entrepreneur really badly. And so it was a dream of his, and his wife, they finally got together and put their heads together, and they're like, look, we've got this money saved up. We can live for this long without an income. They basically gave themselves like a 1-year deadline, 12 months. And she's like, if you want to be an entrepreneur, I'll give you 12 months. Like, just go, I'll work and support, cover the basic costs, and you just go do your thing, like pursue your dream. So he spends the first like 9 months of this 12-month period like thinking up this amazing idea, and then he gets a team together and he puts together a business plan and he puts together like a pitch deck and gets all ready, and then they go and pitch to these investors, and he gets shut down, and he's just so dejected, and he comes home and he's like, I'm a failure. I'm not going to be an entrepreneur. And he's just like gave up. And his wife's all, what are you doing? You can't just give up. And he's like, but I didn't succeed. Like, and she's like, you still have 3 months. You've only used 9 months. You still have 3 months. Go use the rest of your time that I gave you to go do something amazing. And then he started to wonder, like, one rejection. I got told no once, and it just took all the steam out of my sails. He's like, I need to recondition or recreate the experience that I have with rejection. So he decided to go on this 100-day journey where he would make an outrageous request from somebody every single day with the sole purpose of being rejected, because he wanted to become comfortable with being rejected. Oh. And what he found was that even some of the most bizarre and absurd requests, people would give it to him. Like, he shows up at a stranger's house and knocks on the door with a soccer ball, and he's like, can I play soccer in your backyard? And the guy's like, okay. And he, like, lets him into his backyard, and they go kick the ball around. Or he went to a Krispy Kreme. This is one you can find on YouTube. And he goes to the Krispy Kreme counter, and he asked for them to... he's like, I need something outrageous. And he's like, will you make me 5 donuts in the shape of the Olympic rings and the colors? And he shows them a picture, and they're like, oh, we've never had a request like that before. Give us a few minutes. So he goes and sits down, and then they come out 10 minutes later with, like, the Olympic rings and a box, and they show it to him, and he's like, you guys did it? And they're like, yeah, we did it, we figured it out. And he's like, well, what do I owe you now? And they're like, it's on the house. And they gave him the donuts for free.
Wow.
And he's like,
that's
just
so cool.
And so lots of times he'd be rejected, but lots of times, so a surprising amount of the time, he actually got what he wanted. And his whole philosophy is, like, we're so scared of being rejected that we rarely ask for what we want, when most of the time, if we would just ask, especially if our request is reasonable, the people in our lives are willing to give it to us. Even the strangers in our lives are willing to give it to us. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who approached a stranger in the street the other day and said, hey, will you give me a compliment? And just needed a compliment, and she got a compliment. And it's just like,
that's cool.
But we don't ask.
Yeah.
We're scared to ask.
See, and weren't we having a conversation about that not too long ago? I'm a person that asks, because I'm like, whoa, what's the worst that can happen?
Oh, I mean, Whitney always gets deals.
I always push, you know, I mean, I don't push, but I figure what does it hurt to ask if they can do this, or ask if they can return even though it's past the deadline, or, and like you said, almost every time they've done what I've...
They'll at least get help you out a little bit.
When we were on our honeymoon, I had forgotten to, like, make a payment on a credit card. I never forgot that, and I had a fee, and then, like, the interest charge, and Whitney's like, oh, just ask them, they'll take it off. I've done it before. I'm like, really? And so I call them, and they're like, oh, yeah, no problem, Mr. Perona. We'll take that off.
Wow. Like, that's cool.
I've really rarely been rejected in that regard. Like, maybe I mean, there's times that they won't do things. But.
So here at the Love You Mentor, not only do we help you with your relationship, we help you with your credit card bills.
Finances.
You got it. Make a call. Late fee, call them. They'll take it off.
That's funny. I was just looking at your clock. It's 10:03. I thought it said 10:30, and I freaked out a little bit. That's awesome. I'm glad that you guys are comfortable asking. What would you, if you could go back in time and tell yourselves, let's say 5 or 10 years ago, a message to better prepare yourselves for meeting each other, what would you say? Or to better prepare yourselves for marriage? Is there anything that you would tell yourselves? I said the word yourselves way too many times.
I would have told myself where Whitney lived
the address
before, so I could have met her sooner. That would have been nice.
I think I would have just told myself to just keep chugging, just keep holding the standards and the values and the goals and what I wanted in mind, because I think after so many relationships don't work out, and, you know, you can only stand your heart hurting so many times, you just really want to give up. And I really think I would have just said, you know, to prepare myself, you just keep going, and that's what I just had to tell myself internally. But I just am so grateful that I never stopped, you know, looking for what I wanted, and I'm grateful he never stopped. And I'm also grateful that we both listened to, you know, when we felt it, that we didn't get married before, because we could have, and it didn't feel quite right. And I'm so grateful that I didn't do it when it didn't feel quite right, because now it feels so right. And the peace is there. And it also makes it easier, you know, if there's, like, even if we haven't had any major disagreement, but, like, a little disagreement, it's like, well, we're meant to be together. We can work through this. And I know mm-hmm. I know I'm with the right person. Mm-hmm. I have confidence in that. And
One thing that I really liked that you guys had said earlier. So, Devin, you said, like, that you learned from Steve Young, and you're like, I need to take this seriously. If I really want to get married, this needs to be something I'm really committed to.
Yeah.
And then what you said, Whitney, was that you had been burned enough times by men in your life, and then you had to get really clear on what you mm-hmm. really wanted and not settle.
Yeah.
So you guys both, at kind of at a similar time, had to be really committed to, like, finding right. the specific kind of love that you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that was? I feel like that was something that was really important in you guys meeting each other.
I came to the conclusion that it wasn't until I decided what I was worth and what I deserved that I got it. It was once Ooh. I finally made that decision.
That's quote worthy. That, I'm going to hang that on the wall.
That, you know, I'm worth having someone that loves me and treats me kindly. And it took me going through a lot of wrong guys to come to the realization that I deserved.
How did you figure that out for yourself? Because there's a lot of people out there who are struggling with self-worth.
Well, I guess I was looking at all of the relationships that I'd been, and I was thinking about them. Because I had, like I said, a year. It was kind of a year from hell of dating. And I was kind of analyzing things, and I said, why is my heart hurt so much this year? Like, what have I done? What is my part? And I realized that all of the heartache was coming because I had let all of these things that I never wanted in my life, I don't want to say things, but let's say all these attributes in people that I never really wanted, and it was then disappointing. I mean, you know, people that weren't reliable, people that weren't strong in my faith, people that, you know, weren't ready to settle down, and that were liars and that were cheaters, and I was allowing this in my life when I didn't have to. And I finally thought about it, and I was like, I'm a good girl. I have a college degree. I have traveled. I am a good person. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to do what's right. And I deserve someone who equals me. And it really did kind of, it was definitely an epitome. Like, it hit me like a lightning bolt. You know, I deserve it. And that is when Heavenly Father, it was literally like just a couple months after that, and that's when I met Devin.
Mm.
So.
And I think that's interesting when you say that, because you realizing that, like, for me, I was looking for, like, a girl who was confident that knew what she wanted.
That's.
And so you had, like, reached just a point in your life. Because I dated some girls, and I'm just like, they're not confident. They're too reliant on me to, like, give themselves worth. There's so many surveys
that say, what's the most attractive thing a man finds in a woman? And it's almost always the number one answer is confidence.
Yeah, and so there have been some girls where they were gorgeous, and that's probably the first guy that ever broke up with them, and they were just, like, devastated. And I didn't think of one in particular, but it just, she just didn't have that confidence that I saw in you. So, and it's interesting for me too. I feel like, in a way, you had asked that question, what would you have told yourself 5 years before?
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have told myself that, because then I probably wouldn't have been ready right. at that moment and found you. I did joke and said I would have wanted yeah. to find you earlier. That would have been great. But I would have loved to tell myself, you're going to get married at this age, just so I knew right. and I didn't worry about it.
Just be
it's
patient.
Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah, you just keep going.
It's the worry, like, is this, it will happen.
Am I
going to
be by myself? Yeah. Am I going to be alone?
My best friend just had his, third child. Okay, where am I? You know,
I get that.
Yeah, so.
Being the 31-year-old who is literally where you were the year before you got married.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just, that would have been nice
to know. Comments and people judging yeah. and thinking, oh, what's wrong with you? And then you start wondering what's wrong with me and.
Mm-hmm.
And then your self-worth starts suffering.
Yeah, and then your self-worth
And then people
starts.
Don't find you attractive because you're not confident.
Yeah.
It's a vicious cycle.
It is a vicious cycle. But I think that was the biggest thing is just, yeah.
And I think
like,
for
I deserve
me,
this. I deserve a good person.
Yeah. No, and for me, like, too, it's I was looking for somebody who was perfect before, a while ago. And
which doesn't exist.
Exactly. And then you realize this perfect person doesn't exist, and I'm not perfect
What helped you realize that it was okay to find somebody who was imperfect?
I just went through a couple of serious relationships, and it just, I had to realize, like, this person is a great person, even though they had certain, what I considered, like, flaws, but I was able to, like, learn to look past those and be like, it broke down a lot of walls and barriers that I had in my mind. Mm. I was like, oh, wow, you know, this is what's really most important, not this or this. And so that really helped me a lot. Because, like, in my mind, I always thought, oh, I was going to marry somebody who didn't come from a divorced family, you know, which is kind of silly thinking and saying it out loud now. And then I dated a girl, and her parents were divorced, and her brother was in jail, and more crazy things. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is different. And she was awesome, and I realized, you know what, this is out of her control. Yeah,
your family doesn't define you.
Yeah, and so I was learning these things, and so obviously that, you know, prepares me for, you really, it all came to that pivotal moment where I was ready for Whitney and she was ready for me. It's just not losing that faith or that confidence, and just really in the interim being like becoming the best person you can be, becoming the like most awesome future husband and the most awesome future wife. And I had a cousin, and she wasn't married. She's later on in life, but she had her second master's degree, and I'm like, oh, well, why'd you get a master's degree in teaching? You're not a teacher. She's like, I just want to be a great mom and like be able to teach my kids really well. I'm like, well, you're awesome. That's, yeah, so cool. Tether. And I'm like, wow, that's cool. And she's an awesome mom. She's really crazy cool. And so cool things like that. So I've had some good examples in my life too. Just like keep going on.
I love that. I always find it interesting how many people think that they need to wait until they're married to learn to become an awesome husband or
yeah.
wife.
Yeah.
But it's like, nobody wants to be known as a mediocre lover.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be known, when somebody asks your spouse, you know, how is Devin as a husband? You don't want to go on, he's all right, I guess. Like, everybody wants to be the husband or the wife that their partner's like, oh my gosh, I just love being married to them so much. It's so much fun, and they make me better, and da da da. But like, that doesn't happen unless you do the work to be that person for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool that you took that. You both took that on and are taking that on.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you guys doing now to like continue that? I mean, you prepared for each other now that you have each other. What are you doing to kind of like stay on your A game?
Oh, well, we do something fun. Like, before we go to bed every night, we say one thing that we're grateful about the other person.
That's
kind of fun.
Yeah, we do that.
What are you guys going to be grateful for tonight?
Oh, that's a good one. Let's see. I'm grateful that we.
This is what bedtime looks like. We didn't tell you this, but we're all in bed together right now.
We do this.
She's taking the blankets.
Hey, honey, remember you keep telling me I'm almost perfect. I'm nearly perfect.
Nearly perfect.
That's what he always tells me.
Nearly perfect. No, tonight I would say, Whitney, I'm grateful that she's a good sport. We went and played baseball.
I struck out 10 times.
10?
Yeah, it's not even allowed, but they just kept letting me hit the ball. He was the pitcher, and I struck out 10 times. I was like, I'm done.
Right down the middle.
Please,
I cannot go any better than this.
I haven't played since like I was 3 years old, and I played with like a little Mickey bat, my dad, so it was.
It was so cute. I was like, guys, let her keep hitting. She's going to hit it. And she's like, no, I'm done.
I finally gave up. I was like, this is humiliating. I was like, after the 10th strike, I'm done.
It was really cute. It was cute watching her do it.
That is a good sport of you, though.
And yeah. I'm just grateful for he's so affectionate with me. That's one thing that I really like about him. He's just always, I think one of the best things a man can do for a woman is to make her feel beautiful and sexy on a daily basis. Like, that will do wonders for a woman's happiness. Just, you know, he's constantly, you know, grabbing me or telling me I'm beautiful, or, you know, and that means the world to me, because we kind of need, I don't know, that reassurance that our husband's attracted to us, and, you know, and yeah, he's never afraid to put his arm around me or show affection, and that's something that for me personally is really important. So
aw, you guys.
Aw, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Oh, good night.
And with that, you know, we leave you.
And then Devin puts on his snore strip.
Breathe rights. Yeah. They're great.
Those are body.
Gotta keep that oxygen flow going,
this
right?
This is not a paid endorsement.
Actually, it's kind of cute. He talks in his sleep.
Does he?
I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying that, but yeah.
I don't think
he'll literally
he
does
look
like full.
The kind of guy that's going to be.
No,
yeah.
No. I
always
like,
have,
I'm
it's
like
so
what
so
did I
cute,
say?
Though. It's so cute. He'll have like full on like dialogues in his sleep, and he'll like wake up and the next morning I'll be like, "Hun, did you know you said that?" And he'll
he's
just,
like, "What are you doing with my pink pumpkin?"
He really has said some
let
crazy
the Ghostbuster
things.
Go.
But it's not like that's like how I'm talking right now.
He literally talks in like a normal clear.
Oh.
Sometimes like at work he's in sales, he'll like and he does demos and stuff for a product. And sometimes he'll be doing like his spiel, and
wow.
I'm just like, "Oh, honey, like, okay, yeah, I want to buy the product, you know." So
that's
it's fun.
Great.
It's fun to learn all these like little things. I love being married, and obviously we're still new, but it's
She's
way better than I thought it would be.
Married.
Actually, that sounds terrible.
You're gonna ensure that, right?
Yeah,
we do date nights too, once a week.
Yeah,
we always do date nights.
And do you have like a routine for your date night, or do you mix it up?
We mix it up.
You do it the right way.
We mix it up.
That makes me really happy.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll go out with another couple.
Yeah, we
is
do
it,
double dates.
Is
That's
it
fun.
An assumed date night, or does he ask you out every week?
We just it's on the calendar.
Yeah, maybe you could ask me out, and that would be fun.
The creative ways of asking.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, I like this idea.
Oh. It's like
you're welcome. I just made more work for you.
I know.
Wow.
He's
okay.
Honey, you love it.
Well, every he's other week you ask me out, and then I'll ask you out.
Oh,
right?
Oh, I'm traditional, honey. I think the boy asks the girl.
I'll have to do it.
But I can help plan dates.
Perfect. I'll be like, here, let's do this.
Can
for
I
a
take
date.
You out on a date?
And here's
plan?
What you need to do. Yeah.
We really do like plans though, because it's so fun to like get ready and like. You know, if I'm like, oh, he's taking me out Friday night at 7 uh-huh. o'clock, okay. And, you know, and you think about outfits. And so it's actually really fun for a girl to know in advance, just because it's kind of fun to primp and prep. And he'll come home every once in a while. One time he came home with a rose and a note uh-huh. just randomly. So little things like that go a long way with girls.
What's something that you guys are looking forward to in your future?
Kids.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That's a good letter.
Yeah, I am. I just am thinking of the whole getting fat thing. And
oh, honey.
And having something growing inside of you. It's becoming a little more real, but I'm really excited.
Cool.
I'm excited. He's going to be such a good dad. And I've seen him around his nephews. He treats his nephews and
vacations.
Nieces. And
we talk about vacations.
And traveling. We love to travel. Yeah. It's exciting to have someone to plan your life with. Like,
Are you guys going to go to Italy?
Yes,
we are.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
You do have that common bond, that common interest.
Yeah, we're going to go in springtime.
We're going to go to Europe.
Have you lived there, Devin?
I lived there for 5 months.
Okay, so you were there for 16, 18?
18 months,
and you were there for 5.
Yeah.
Do either of you speak the language?
Posso parlare un po' di italiano, ma...
Sì. I think that means yes in Italian.
Yeah. Yes.
I just need to
said
practice.
I speak a little.
So I speak at least little, but I need to practice, man.
Yeah.
Devo praticare.
I I'm not so good anymore.
You,
I did three
you
classes.
Say something,
I did
honey.
Three classes of Italian in college, and then I just knew enough to get around in Italy to go see tourist attractions and stuff like that.
Cool.
So
where's the bathroom?
Yeah, that's a good one to know.
So I don't want to take up to it. We're approaching an hour here, but I want to know if you, because I feel like the most poignant advice that I've got in my life, or the most important people that I've met, are always the people who are just a few steps ahead of me. Like the people who are way down the road oftentimes forget what it's like to be like in my shoes where I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
So because you're the type of people that are just a few steps ahead of me, I'm always curious to hear like what advice you would have for people who are like, well, for me, what, like for somebody who is single and wants to be where you are in a year from now or 2 years from now, what advice would you give me?
I think what my advice for you is just don't lose hope. Don't become jaded or... Yeah, I just see a lot of people where that happens.
Why is it important to not become jaded?
I just because you have to stay positive. I you see, it's kind of like you had alluded to it too. You are sad, and because you're sad, people can sense that, and nobody wants to date a sad person. And everybody has this cycle where, you know, you can tell. I could always tell the girls that were like bitter, like, nobody at church is dating me. Mm. Yeah, and you're like, oh, I don't want to date you. I don't want to get near that. So it happened, and I felt bad because yeah. I'm like, I'm sure she's great. She comes in and she's very bitter. So I think just staying positive, having good hobbies, just and making it a priority. So you're like where I was last year, where I was like, I don't know if this is going to happen.
I need to move to San Francisco and then go to Huntington Beach.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Just do the exact same thing I did. Yeah. Yeah. Just making it a priority and knowing what you're looking for, and then making sure you're just in that right place, and you'll be fine. But it's just, don't give up hope.
I thought about for a long time about the whole jaded, cynical mindset, and how mm-hmm. there are a lot of, this might be culturally specific, but because everybody in this room right now is Mormon, mm-hmm. but I think it probably applies outside as well. But a lot of people tend to, as they get older, and I've heard this more specifically or more prevalently come from women, when they get older and they get really upset that men only want to date younger women. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that's true. I think men want to date vibrant women.
I agree.
And when you get into that mindset that men only want to date younger women, and you become angry and upset, you're absolutely right. Nobody wants to. But there's a lot of women who are much older than I am that I'm attracted to, because they just love life and they radiate and they're just excited to be alive. And
I found it was a little frustrating being, hey, I want to be in a relationship, and there were some girls I thought were great and they're attractive and I wanted to get to know them, but it was like, you know, they had in their mindset, well, nobody's going to go for me, so I'm going to really busy myself with my career. Mm. It's like, hey, well, what are you doing next weekend? Oh, you know, I'm doing this work trip thing. And okay, well, the weekend after that, oh, you know, I got to do this. And it's like, well, okay. I don't even have time. So they're kind of, the thing that's making them sad is then keeping them away from the thing they actually want, which is marriage. So it's like, I always thought that was kind of interesting. Or maybe they just weren't that into me. They didn't want to tell me. But anyways, I felt like they were kind of...
Right, I got that.
Keeping them away, you know, kind of hiding from what they felt this was their problem. So
it's good advice. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing it with me.
Whitney, it kind of goes back to what I said earlier, essentially deciding what you want and owning it and not settling for anything less. And
beautiful
then
said.
Just having that hope, and it'll come.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I love it. And the more people you say no to that don't fit that bill, the closer you are to the one who does. Mm-hmm.
And exactly. Then you don't waste your time.
Yeah.
You know, our time's so precious.
Oh, I know. One thing, I just see a lot of people who date somebody for like a year, 2 years, 3 years.
And they know it when it's not right. You have that feeling. Like, everyone knows. I think everyone has been in that situation where you're dating someone and you really care about them, but inside you, you're just like, this isn't who I'm supposed to be with. But you keep going with it because you're too afraid to break it off, and you don't want to hurt.
So much.
And you invested time.
And but you're comfortable.
The longer, and you just gotta say, this is what I want, and I'm gonna get it, and I'm gonna do what I can to get it. You know.
Yeah.
I just
a few dates. You know.
It's so hard. I have some friends that settled for way less than what they're worth.
That's heartbreaking to see.
And it is. Like, it's so sad because I'm like, I'm so glad. I mean, we would have missed out on this had we done that. Mm. You know? And so I think maybe if we can remember that, you know, I'm not going to settle because I know that there's going to be a happiness out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's obtainable and that's real. And everyone, even all my family, because, you know, this is, we've never been married before. Or this is our first marriage, and both of our family kept saying,
I hear it's your last, too.
Yeah, it is.
Sorry.
This is our first one.
Yeah, you're right. But like our family kept, my grandma actually ironically called today and was just like, and my mom the other day as well. And she's like, you're so blessed. And I said, I know I am, but I could have screwed it up. Yeah. I could have given up. I could have gotten bitter. I could have pushed everything and everything out. And, you know, I'm grateful that I didn't. And I'm grateful, too, that I took time to reflect, because sometimes you really do need time. Like, I'm so glad that I looked at that year of dating and said, what is wrong with this picture? Why is my heart broken so many times this year? Because there's got to be something I'm doing wrong.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because once I changed and I started dating the guys that I felt were, you know, I don't want to say up to my standard, that sounds bad, but someone was, you know, that
shared your values.
That shared my values. The experience of my dating was quality. I wasn't having drama. I wasn't having boys at, like, throwing fits if I went out with them. Like, it was just very civil. Okay, you know what? We're at this place. Well, we had a good time dating you. You're a great person. This isn't going to work out. Parting ways, civil, no hard feelings, you know? So the quality was amazing when I decided. I was like, this is great. Like, you know, I'm going out with some great guys. And although it didn't work out, it at least wasn't leaving me feeling bitter. Because I feel like you leave bitter when...
You had positive experiences.
Yeah, I had positive. Them. Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Those were great final takeaways. And I really appreciate you spending an hour with me in the middle of the week. Well, I guess it's the weekend, but this could be your date night.
Your date night, I know.
It is.
That's all good.
And for turning off your AC for an hour to swelter.
I know.
Yeah. You're probably feeling it now. But you have a good day.
Thank you.
Really.
Thanks.
Thanks again for tuning in, everybody. Really appreciate you listening. Special thanks today to Maddie Blades, as always, for the intro music, to Mark Williams for being my amazing editor and confidant and friend, and to Jessica Atkinson for being a listener. If you guys have any questions, doesn't even matter. If you guys have any questions for me about relationships, or if you want to hear a specific topic or couple, shoot me a line at loveyoumentory@gmail.com. I read all my emails. I may not respond to them all, but I read them all. And if thinking about starting maybe a Q&A segment for the podcast, so it'd be fun to hear what kind of stuff you'd want to learn more about. So shoot me an email with your insights, with your ideas, with your questions. Really excited to hear from you. Hope you have an amazing week. Bye.